जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी, जय प्रभु पदा जय प्रभु पदा प्रभु पदा जय प्रभु पदा,
जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज का अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद वेदांत स्वामी जगत गुरु श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। नित्य लीला प्रविष्ट जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस इस्कॉन फाउंडर आचार्य बीबीटी फाउंडर आचार्य श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज का जय। अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की जय। ब्रज भूमि वृंदावन मथुरा धाम की जय। नवद्वीप मायापुर धाम की जय। जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय। जगन्नाथपुरी रथ यात्रा की जय। शिवानंद सैंतिरो भाव महामहोत्सव की जय। Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bo, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Book. I forgot the book. ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया। भगवदुत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम Canto number 3, chapter 15, text number 4. Deva Deva Jagat Dhatar Lokanatha Shikhamane Paresham Paresham Tvam Bhutanam Sibhavavit देव देव जगद्धातर लोकनाथ शिखामणे परेशाम परेशाम त्वं भूतानामसि भाववित्। देव देव जगद्धातर लोकनाथ शिखामणे परेशाम परेशाम त्वं भूतानामसि भाववित्।
लोकनाथ शिखामणे
लोकनाथ शिखामणि Deva Deva, O God of the demigods, Jagadhata, O sustainer of the universe, Lokanath Shikhamane, O head jewel of all the demigods in other planets, Paresham, of the spiritual world, Aparesham, of the material world, Tvam, you, Bhutanam, of all living entities, Asi, are, Bhavavit, knowing the intentions. Translation purport by Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada. The translation, O God of the demigods, sustainer of the universe, head jewel of all the demigods in other planets. You know the intentions of all living entities in both the spiritual and material worlds. Purport. Because Brahma is almost on an equal footing with the personality of Godhead, he is addressed here as the God of the demigods. And because he is the secondary creator of the universe, he is addressed as the sustainer of the universe. He is the head of all the demigods, and therefore he is addressed here as the head jewel of the demigods. It is not difficult for him to understand everything which is happening in both the spiritual and material worlds. He knows everyone's heart and everyone's intentions. Therefore, he was requested to explain this incident. Why was the pregnancy of Diti causing such anxieties all over the universe? Om Adyanti Mirandasya Jnana Anjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam परिजन सहितं कृष्ण चैतन्य देवं श्री राधा कृष्ण पादान सहगण ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश नमाओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी निति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Hare Krishna. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. That's the Canto 3, Chapter 15 and Text 4. Deva Deva Jagat Dhatur Loknath Shikhamane Paresham Aparesham Tvam Bhutanam Sibhavavid. O God of the demigods, sustainer of the universe, head jewel of all the demigods in other planets, you know the intentions of all living entities in both the spiritual and material worlds. So I offer my respects to all the Vaishnava senior devotees. Amal Bhakta Maharaj is here and all the Prabhupada disciples, Archita Prabhu. Because of your mercy, I could sit here and try to explain as much as I could understand. Especially these verses are a little bewildering for some devotees who are new to Krishna consciousness. It appears that the demigods, when they saw the darkness completely covered the entire universe because the Diti's pregnancy with two demons, and the demons were very powerful, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu were extremely powerful, and because they were demons, they brought so much of inauspiciousness to the world. The entire world, the entire actual many planets were covered with darkness. And that created fear in all the demigods, and they're praying to Lord Brahma. So we see that the demigods are saying, you know, oh great one, just see this darkness which you know very well and which is causing us anxieties. Because the influence of time cannot touch you, there is nothing unmanifest before you. And today's verse also, the demigods are saying that you are the God of the demigods, the sustainer of the universe, head jewel of all demigods in other planets. And you know the intentions of living entities in spiritual world and material worlds. In this context, Jiva Goswami Pad, he mentions that there are many instances in Srimad Bhagavatam where the demigods sometimes glorify Lord Brahma more than what is supposed to be as offered as a glorification. So it could be their short-sightedness. Just like they are saying that you are Deva Deva, you are the God of the demigods. This praise is basically supposed to be offered to the Supreme Lord only. Deva Deva Jagatpate, just like Uttara, she prayed to Lord Krishna that Deva Deva Jagatpati, you are the Supreme Lord, you are the God of all the demigods. And he's in this verse, the demigods are saying that you are the sustainer of all the universe, and you know the intentions of everyone also. So sometimes it happens that the praise is higher, you know, out of excitement or out of somebody's lack of full knowledge, which Srila Prabhupada explains in the next verse also. Srila Prabhupada finds the golden mean of Sanatana Goswami's commentary and Jiva Goswami's commentary. So here Jiva Goswami is saying that sometimes these praises are because of the short-sightedness of the demigods. Just like yesterday we had the Father's Day, right? So one son wrote a Father's Day greeting to his father. And it said that, "My dear father, you are not just my father, you are the father of the whole universe. You sustain and maintain everyone. Everyone is just because of you. And you help me with homework. You are the origin of mathematics. And you help me with so much. You take care of not only my mother, but there are so many ladies that you take care of." And the father is confused that, isn't it too much of praise? Maybe it's not for me. So the father said to the son that, instead of you giving me a gift on the Father's Day, I will give you a gift. But don't show this letter to the mother. So the point here is that sometimes the praises by the demigods appear like that. And Srila Prabhupada, in the next verse, he mentions this. Why it is so. It's very important. 3:14, right? 15, right? 3:15:5. Yeah, Srila Prabhupada mentions that for the demigods, look, this is the next. For the demigods, Brahma is the original source of all scientific knowledge. He is born directly from the transcendental body of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, who is never seen by any creature of this material universe, and therefore always remains unmanifested. So all the demigods at this point do not have the knowledge of who is the Supreme Lord. Brahma is stated here to be born of the unmanifested. And so that's why we see that demigods are praising in that fashion. So Sri Prabhupada also mentions that they're seeing Lord Brahma of that highest stature. And Brahma is also explained that he's the origin of the Vedas. He is the origin of all the Vigyan and all kinds of knowledges. And he is also the nourisher of all the living entities. Especially when we think of the Vedas, Vedas are so deeply rooted, deep science. Just like, suppose an ant finds a sugar grain. The ant will be so happy that today, you know, I just won a jackpot. I have such a big mountain like sugar grain I found. And the ant will not think that where is it coming from, or who am I and who is giving me this much of love and who is maintaining me in this fashion. But if a human being is next, he can see that the sugar grain has come, you know, because there was the mother was cooking. So while cooking, making some sweet rice, she dropped some sugar particles. So, because we can see a higher reality, we can understand that where it is coming from. So similarly, you know, higher than us are the demigods. They see a higher reality, more, you know, more superior than us. And Lord Brahma sees the ultimate, as much as this universe is concerned. He sees the reality based on everybody's karma. He sees what no one else can see. And the most superior, the topmost reality is seen by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because he sees based on the true reality, based on everybody's internal desires, based on everybody's past karma that goes back for the time immemorial. So that kind of reality is given to us in the form of Vedas. So Vedas are basically personification of the Supreme Lord. You know, how Supreme Lord, how Lord Krishna sees the whole world and how he wants the world to function. Such things are the basis of the Vedas. And that's why we see that Vedas long back have given so many details that even today the scientists are not able to figure out. For example, you can see the trigonometry or the distance between different planets was given 2,000 years before Christ in Surya Siddhanta. And that's why when Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj started to write commentary on Surya Siddhanta, so many of his disciples were confused that why are we going back to the book who basically talks about astrology, astronomy, and these kind of scientific terminologies, instead of why don't we focus on only the devotional service or the concepts of devotional service. But that time, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that this knowledge is very important so that people will understand what they have, so that people's minds will not be polluted in future by the propaganda of science, of so-called science. Like we see there is Ayurveda as compared to today's allopathy. Today's modern medicine, it basically focuses on immediate cure. If there is a pain, you know, in my chest, then the doctor will give you a very strong medicine, you know, based on whatever the symptoms. Allopathy basically focuses on negating the effect of the symptom immediately. For example, if you feel acidity, the allopathy will give you alkaline substance, so, you know, to bring down the acidity. And many a times there is an immediate relief and people feel nice, but the allopathical medicines have the problem that it cures the immediate problem, but it creates further problems in other parts of the body. For example, if you have infection, like my mother had infection a few months back, and she was given very strong antibiotics. And then they found out that these antibiotics are curing the infection, but they're affecting the kidneys. So it creates further problem. And on the other hand, you know, Ayurveda goes to the root of the problem. What is the root of this disease? You know, and based on the root, it fixes the problem at the root level so that the problem will be fixed and it will not affect other parts of the body. Just like somebody has high blood sugar. You know, many people, they eat a lot of sweet, there is high blood sugar. They take allopathic medicine and then the blood sugar goes down and they feel very nice for a few months, a few years. But then they have complaints that my joints are paining or my eyesight is not very good. Or, you know, I have so much of shoulder pain or my fingers are hurting. Because what the medicine has done is only remove the blood sugar from the blood and it has deposited it in other parts of the body. So, you know, this is all proven that how it's like in a city. In the morning time, all the trash pickup happens. They pick up the trash from crowded area and they took it away and they dump it somewhere away. They don't deal with the trash. They just relocate the trash. Similarly, if the allopathic medicine, many a times, they only relocate the problem from where it is to a place where, you know, it's not, will not be seen. But it comes out later in the day. So we understand how the Vedic science is much deeper and it's much more scientific. Just like the computer science that everybody is fascinated about today. Everyone loves computers. The computer language is basically made up of only two letters, two alphabets. Just like English has 26 alphabets, A, B, C, D, up to Z. Computer language, only two numbers, 0 and 1. Only 0 and 1 works so mysteriously that the computer can do so many different things that wonders everybody. And that entire computer science language is based on Panini's Vyakaran. Panini's, you know, he wrote a lot of sutras, Vyakaran Sutra. You go back, you understand how the fuzzy logic and all the computer science comes from there. So the Vedas, the Vedic science, everything that comes ultimately down from Supreme Personality of Godhead, that ultimately is meant to help each and every individual to prosper, not just materially, but spiritually also. And not just spiritually, materially also. So both. It's like an overall progress for the living entity. In today's verse, we see the Lord Brahma is being called Deva Deva. And he is, in one sense, the spiritual master of the entire universe. Because he comes directly from the body of Lord Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. So in that fashion, it is mentioned that Lord Brahma is a maintainer and he sustains all of the living entities. There's one more verse that is Jagat Dhata, O sustainer of the universe, and Lokanatha Shikhamani, O head jewel of all the demigods in other planets. So we see that these all are really high class adjectives. Most of the times the devotees use to glorify Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it also says Bhutanam Asi Bhavavit, that you understand the intentions of all living entities in both spiritual and material worlds. In both the worlds you understand. So this also is a little confusing, how Lord Brahma can understand the intentions of the living entities in the spiritual world. So it also sounds little confusing, because these intentions, especially for the spiritual, in the spiritual world, for the living entities, won't be accessible for somebody like Lord Brahma, because there are so many universes, and each and every universe has one Brahma. And Brahma is where our sampradaya begins, and in Brahma Madhva Gaudiya sampradaya, we see that Madhva branch comes from Madhvacharya, Gaudiya branch comes from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when Mahaprabhu appeared, he brought with him the love of Godhead. And especially today is the disappearance day of Shivanand Sen. Shivanand Sen, we see in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, that Shivanand Sen had so much of love for Lord Chaitanya that he used to start pilgrimages for all the devotees of Bengal. That when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, then he was living in Jagannath Puri. At that time, the devotees of Bengal were having a lot of love for Lord Chaitanya in mode of separation. They would miss Lord Chaitanya so much, they wanted to run to Jagannath Puri and embrace Lord Chaitanya, get his association. But because most of the devotees of Bengal were householders, they had their families, they had their so-called businesses. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would tell all the devotees of Bengal that don't come to me practically every time. I know you wish to run to me every time, but just come once a year, during the Rath Yatra time. Like right now is the Rath Yatra time in Jagannath Puri. So Mahaprabhu is told that come once a year. And now, like right now, we have so many facilities. We can just take a plane, we can board a train. But in those days, coming from Bengal to Jagannath Puri was a big hustle. Like, you have to walk. You have to literally walk from one town to another town. and then stay there for a while and then go further. So such a difficult pilgrimage was organized by Shivanand Sen. Thank you so much, Maharaj. I'm so sorry to make it. My voice is real. Yeah, my voice is really bad. I'm so sorry. So Shivanand Sen was the person who would arrange all these pilgrimages from Bengal. He would take so many devotees and make the arrangements for them to stay at each and every different towns they would come. And while on the pilgrimage, he would take care of everyone. Everybody's eating habits. Oh, like somebody's a vegan. So he would make sure like that, you know, okay, you have this type of eating habits, we will take care of you. Okay, for this devotee, what does he need? Oh, he needs blood pressure medicine. He has sugar, high sugar problem. So he would practically take care of each and every individual so personally. And that's why he was so dear to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And while taking such care, he would take this big party slowly, slowly towards Jagannath Puri. But one day, a very interesting thing happened, that the party of Shivanand Sen was joined by a dog. A stray dog just happened to come by and he started associating with the devotees. And Shivanand Sen welcomed him because he saw each and everyone as part and parcel of Krishna. He thought, oh, we have a new bhakta dog. We have a new devotee in our community. And he really took care of the dog. He would make sure that the dog gets special rice that he would personally cook or get it cooked. The dog's, you know, how he liked to eat. And the dog just joined them and he would dance, swirl around in the Harinam Kirtan, and he was just traveling with them. And he was completely happy. The dog was so happy that everybody thought this dog is just going to come for a little time and he would leave us. But the dog started just coming and following them towards Jagannath Puri. And Shivanand Sen thought that, oh, this Lord needs to be initiated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because he is a great devotee. He is following us and he is taking part in Harinam. He is eating Krishna Prasad. Now he is part of us. But it was not easy to take the dog, you know, all the way to Jagannath Puri, because while being on the path, you had to cross so many rivers. And then that means you have to take the boat. And many a times, the boatwala, the boatman would say, no, 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 dog's not allowed. No, 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 I will not take the dog. Shivanand Sen would practically fall at the feet of this boatman and say, no, he's part of our family. We cannot leave him behind. Family means everybody stays together. We're all together in this. And we don't want to leave behind one of our devotees. But then he would say, okay, I'll charge 10 times extra for the dog. And Shivanand Sen would actually pay. No problem. I will not let this dog. So Shivanand Sen had so much love, you know, for each and every individual. So much of love that we can only see in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And these pastimes are teaching us how we should also be exchanging love with each other. How we should treat each other. How we should not take anyone based on their external bodily features or based on somebody's, you know, intelligent level or based on what kind of body they are in. We should not, you know, consider them that, oh, they're not that important. No. Each and every individual who is taking shelter of Krishna, who is taking Krishna Prasad, who is taking part in the Sankirtan movement, is transcendental, and on the transcendental platform, he is associate of Krishna. He's as good as, you know, anybody else. So Shivanand Sen would take the dog with him all the time. And one time it happened that the the person who was supposed to make the special rice, special food for the dog, he couldn't make it, he forgot. And then Shivanand Sen had to do it himself. And the next morning they saw the dog was not there. And Shivanand Sen felt so much of pain in his heart that where did the dog go? So he went and looked around everywhere. Where is the dog? We have to take him to Jagannath Puri. And we are so close. We are almost there. Jagannath Puri is literally just, you know, within reach. And we'll be in Jagannath Puri very soon. And we don't want the dog to miss out. So he looked around everywhere. But he could not find the dog. And he felt morose. He felt, oh well, you know, what can we do? The dog at least had a chance to eat Krishna Prasad. He associated with Vaishnavas. And he did so much. So we pray for the betterment. We pray for his ultimate benefit. And we will continue our travel. So finally, when the Kirtan party from Bengal reached to Jagannath Puri, in Jagannath Puri, all the devotees were excited. Where is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Finally, the time has come that we can see the beautiful face of our Lord, Gauranga Mahaprabhu. It has been so long. Everybody was looking around and asking, where is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Have you seen Mahaprabhu? Where did he go? But Shivanand Sen, he had idea where would be Mahaprabhu at that particular time. So he went running towards the backside of the Jagannath temple. And when he went, he could hear Mahaprabhu's voice. And he felt jubilation. Okay, now the time is coming that I'm going to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when he actually reached at the very spot where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sitting, he saw a transcendental sight. He saw that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sitting with that same dog. And he was feeding him. Well, he himself was eating some crumbs of the bread. And he also was eating the dry coconut. And he was telling the dog, chant Hari Hari. And the dog would say, oh, Hari Hari Hari. And he would jump. And Mahaprabhu would throw with his own personal, you know, from his own personal plate, he was throwing the Mahaprasad. And the dog was catching it. And the dog was in so much jubilation. And when Shivanand Sen saw this, then he understood that I am not anybody's caretaker. I am only a servant. I am a servant leader. All this time I was thinking that I am the leader. I have to take care of everyone and I have to make sure this happens perfectly. But now I understand that in that mentality I forgot to recognize that ultimate caretaker and the ultimate leader is Krishna. It's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who is doing everything. And the dog has received the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu even before all of us. So he was so happy to see that. And within, like in front of his own eyes, he saw that the dog left this world and he attained his swarup avastha. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dispatched the dog to the spiritual world. So Shivanand Sen was really so happy to see that sight and to understand that ultimately Krishna or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are the caretakers of everyone. And ultimate desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is that everyone should go back to Godhead, to our eternal home. This is the innermost heart, in the innermost desire in the heart of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jaganistaribe ei Ishvara Swabha. This is the ultimate desire of the Supreme Lord. So in this verse also, when we hear the glories of the demigods praising Lord Brahma in different ways, Lord Brahma, thus being praised, sometimes he also was getting that kind of consciousness where he thought that I am the maintainer, sustainer, the nourisher of all the universe. And that pride was stolen away by Krishna when Krishna appeared on the earth. And then he performed Brahma Vimohan Leela, where Lord Brahma also understood that, oh, I am not the all in all. I am not God. The God, the ultimate supreme personality of Godhead is Krishna. So we should always remain humble and understand that even if we are empowered to do something, but it is happening only because of mercy of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Anybody has any question or somebody would like to comment? Mataji.
How by the prayers and the praise of the for the demigods, that it led to some confusion. And I also wanted to just say something about the kind of confusion with the story of Shivananda Sen, because, you know, I was just hearing this morning, as we listen to Prabhupada every morning, that Prabhupada said that the dog does not go in the house. Although in India everyone sees the soul in every species of life, still the dog is not going in the house. And here we have audiences mostly American. In America, people grow up with sleeping with the dog, kissing the dog, and all those things. So I just wanted to point that out, because as devotees, we have this, you know, like suchi muchi thing, because we have deities and we try to, you know, elevate ourselves. So I just wanted to bring up that point so it doesn't get kind of lost in the, you know, because it was a wonderful pastime, but we shouldn't misunderstand it because we come from another culture. Yeah.
It's a very important point. And Srila Prabhupada also mentions that dogs were not allowed inside the house because the dogs are contaminated by nature, because, you know, they don't take bath. Usually all the animals, the cats or dogs, they don't take bath. When they evacuate, they are just like that. So it's better not to bring them inside, because if they come inside, they will contaminate the place. Especially the house is meant to be used to serve the deities, to serve the Supreme Lord. And if the dogs come inside, then, you know, whatever we are offering to Krishna, whatever we are cooking for Krishna, will not be of the highest standard. Archita Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for a wonderful class, Prabhu. Yes, this point can't be stressed too much. Dogs are muchi. But the humans are also muchi. I've seen personally in this temple, second initiated, pujari, in the pujari room, there were some papers that this person had to separate. Lick their finger, separate the papers, and then go on touching everything. So training has to be there for everybody. Not just that the dogs are dirty and everybody else is okay. No. At the same time, we don't say dog are dirty, get away from me. Prabhupada showed that example right here in California when he was walking with his disciples regularly. And one Mataji had a dog that she used to bring every day. And one day the dog didn't show up. So Prabhupada said, where is the dog? And the other devotee said, oh, Prabhupada, she treats that dog like a person. Prabhupada said, dog is also a person. So we shouldn't take it to the other extreme either. Oh, these animals are so muchi. Yes, they are. So if you touch an animal, you wash your hands before you eat or go to the pujari room for sure. My point is that sometimes we get on this high horse of cleanliness, and we ourselves are not clean. We do things unconsciously that are not clean, like that pujari I was talking about. This person was, you know, serving the deities for years and years and years, but unconsciously was not clean. Lick your finger, touch something, and then go on touching the paraphernalia. I was shocked. So we have to be conscious. Prabhupada said, you can't be Krishna conscious if you're not conscious. So you have to be conscious in everyone you're dealing with, every animal you're dealing with, every situation you're in. Try to stay conscious.
I'll try to be brief. Now you know why I bring those napkins around at Prasadam, so everybody doesn't go licking their fingers and stuff like that, and then touching the Prasadam, touching devotees. It's good to keep a mentality of of cleanliness, and to convey that also, just as you can convey uncleanliness, you can convey cleanliness. But that was not what I raised my hand. The important point is that as we become more and more Krishna conscious, more and more advanced, much higher, we begin to feel and sense the divinity that is in the, I was going to say the dog in this case, or the grasshopper, or the ant. You cannot help but feel the divine, because you're feeling the divine. And when you begin to feel the divine, meaning Krishna within, the joy within, the blessing within, then you cannot help feel some affection for that creature which you're feeling at one moment with, or union with. And so therefore, devotees, real devotees, high devotees, feel love for every creature everywhere. And that's because they feel a unity, a connection, as I said, a union. They feel related. It's not like just something separate out there that I don't. But actually, it's part of the family of Krishna's, and that's all. And that's why generally people who have a lot of love in their hearts, by love I mean love of God, they will also love these creatures, animals. They see the dogs. I mean, I have a little love. Whenever I see people, women taking their dogs out, I immediately start talking to the dog. Of course, it makes a nice relationship with the lady. I said, yeah, your dog is beautiful. And look how friendly he is. Wow, he's not even biting me. Most dogs want to bite me, you know, like that. So she said, yeah, she's very friendly, especially to very warm and loving, sweet people. And the dog does. They start rubbing your leg, you know, doing all this kind of thing, and making noises, kind of all those things. That's enough talk for one day.
Devaki Mataji.
Mataji. Oh, I'm so sorry. What did I
ignore? Sorry, I should have come and got the mic myself. I just wanted to also make this point that we have to distinguish between some emotional, we have to distinguish between some emotional and sentimental love for the animals and really the spiritual vision, you know? Because obviously Shivananda Sena, Mahaprabhu, they really saw the dog as spirit soul, but often there are so many animal lovers who don't have that vision, and it's just some material, sentimental, emotional care. And if I remember correctly, there is a statement in the Bhagavatam somewhere that when we get overly concerned, you know, about a living entity in a mundane way, that this is entangling and not uplifting. Yeah, so we have to, because it's really animals. You know, there's so many sentimental, emotional people, even amongst devotees, who don't have that transcendental vision, and they get all caught up in animal loving and all this, you know. So then it's entangling, you know.
Like Bharat Maharaj, right? Huh? Bharat Maharaj got attached to the deer. He gave up everything, all his family and all his relationship. And while performing devotional service, he got so attached to the baby deer, and he was just become deer conscious.
Exactly.
Srila Prabhupada says that Krishna consciousness is so simple that even a child can practice and even a dog can practice. So Prabhupada states that. Because he says a dog can at least take Krishna prasad. So the best way to uplift these all lower creatures is to feed them a little bit of Krishna Prasad. So the Srila Prabhupada ki jai, nitai gaur premanande hari hari.